This is a HeadGum Original.
Because we love you all so much, because of you, we are back with the next episode of Punch Up the Jam!
Punch up the jam, punch it up, while you beat your feet. Punch up the jam, punch it up, punch it, punch it, punch it. Punch up the jam, punch it up, get the party going.
Welcome back to Punch Up the Jam, and we are so excited to have, I think, our first repeat guest.
I think that's right.
Akilah Hughes with us.
Welcome to the pod.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be back. I've been wanting to punch jams for a long time, and I'm glad to be here so we can keep doing our mission. That's great.
You got a taste for it with Demi and Miel, and you just had to come back for more.
That's our mission, is punching jams.
Personally, yeah. I think one of the most, maybe the most important thing when booking podcast guests, something that I have, you know, days and days of experience doing, is you have to find someone with absolute top-tier laugh. Someone with a top-tier laugh. And when we played the theme song, and yes. I heard that, I assume you had it trademarked, that trademarked Akilah Hughes laugh. I knew yeah. we'd book the right repeat guest.
Yeah. I never laugh genuinely anymore. I get residuals every time. It's wonderful. We love it. But yeah, I'm glad people were charmed by it and not, you know, so annoyed. Although there were some people who were like, I can't hear the news over your giggle. And I'm like, I don't really care. They're paying me either way. So yeah, happy to be here. Share and laughs. And
we knew what we were getting into. I mean, we've known each other a long time now, Akilah. We're not yeah. simply
we're not just like pod friends.
We're not like twit exactly. acquaintances. Like we've known each other for a long time now.
Yeah, there's an IRL.
I've known you longer than I've known any of the podcasts I've been on. And that's a fact.
Wow.
You are like repeat friends of my heart. Wow, I just see you in different iterations. Because
your recent fans, you know, might think of you as a Los Angelina fashionista. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we knew you back when you were a gritty Brooklyn gal.
Yeah, and hopefully you'll know me again as a pretty Brooklyn gal at some point.
Please come back to us.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you were saying over your laugh. Excuse me?
Exactly. What exactly are you talking about?
I couldn't hear you over the rays of sunshine beaming in your window as we sit here in the dreary autumnal days of Brooklyn. It's gray. It's getting cool. Mm-hmm. And my jealousy over your abandoning us for Los Angeles is showing.
Is this a dream you're talking about, that you're going to be a Brooklyn pretty gal? Is this a hint?
It's definitely a hint. It's definitely on the horizon. But yeah, I got to say, you know, you think you're missing out on good sunny weather, but then, you know, the Palm Springs of it all just really seeps in and you just, oh, every day is the same. Every single day. I've aged 400 years. Like, the pandemic was really bleak. I was like, it's always hot.
So not the Palm Springs, not the Palm Springs is in like, you're tired of the weather. The Palm Springs is in the movie starring Andy Samberg
yes, for sure.
And Kristen Milioti. Yes. Yes, great.
Yeah, that's okay. right.
You're waking up. You can't tell one day from the next, and everything bleeds into each other.
In 50 years, what are people going to say when they're feeling that way? Are they still going to be saying,
Groundhog Day?
Or are they going to be like, so Palm Springy? Like, another
it depends
Russian
on the weather.
Doll.
I think it's like if you're in the winter, you'll say Groundhog Day. You'll say, you know, the people in the Yukon are definitely thinking Groundhog Day still.
Yeah, there's probably an episode of Northern Exposure, you know, that covered that. They were out around the same time as Groundhog Day. Mm-hmm. Just a bottle episode.
Totally. Can I just express a little bit of fear and trepidation about what we're about to embark on, which namely is an examination of the Kelly Clarkson mega hit Because of You. You already know that's what we're talking about because you saw it in the title of the podcast ep. And I just want to not pretend that I'm not scared. I don't want to pretend like...
You think Kelly's going to come for you.
Yeah. We won't go too deep into this, but this was we kind of called an audible. We switched songs to the last minute, and I'm very excited to do this one. I love Kelly Clarkson, but but this is your pick, Akilah. What was it that, you know, it's sort of a gun to your head moment? What's the song you're doing today on Punch Up the Jam? And this just shot out of your fingers right into my iChats. What made you say Because of You?
Well, I remembered the last time I was on the show and we talked about The Sweet Escape, Gwen Stefani, a song that absolutely makes my hair stand on end. Mm-hmm. And this is a song that I do enjoy, but when I think of songs that annoy me for very specific reasons, it always comes up. And, you know, I'm happy to elaborate, but I was like, look, we can really punch this up. We can fix it. To me, it's a real cadence. It's a lyrical thing. I mean, I hope
you're happy to elaborate because, you know, we got 30 or 45 minutes of elaborating in front of us. So.
Well, can we just jump into it? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready for this. Listen to this intro. I'm just going to start playing seconds of the song, and then we're going to get deep into the weeds. Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I know this song came out in the year 2004, but if you didn't know that, you could have guessed.
Yeah.
Let me pause there. I want to set the mood here. What has happened to me since this song began is it cast me into a wintry scape. Is that a word? A winter scape with this cool piano made me think of, you know, what am I hearing in this piano? Is I'm wrapped up in a blanket, staring out at the window at bare branches. Everything's
not
cold.
Not a good winter.
Bleak.
This isn't a Christmas winter.
Yeah.
No, not Christmas time.
Exactly. It's that weird period between Thanksgiving and Christmas before anyone wants to put up the tree and you still got some like weird leaf stuff in your house and you think that's good enough decorations, but it's really not. The 25 days of Christmas have started on TV. What are we doing?
And there might even be like some spooky stuff up still. Like maybe there's even like a ghost up in the yard and you looked out the window at the ghost and you're like, ooh.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Is today the day that we take it down?
Yeah, your neighbor forgot that they put the cobwebs up and now it's just looking pretty sad.
Yeah, it's just Grey Gardens.
You're into daylight standards time. Your seasonal affective depression is setting in.
I mean, this is actually all spot on if you've seen the music video. It's sort of like Hello by Adele before that. Very sepia toned, a lot of leaves.
Yeah. It's very, the vibe is just like, the weekend after daylight savings happened. You know, last weekend you were happy to get extra sleep. This weekend you're just like, fuck, it's dark at 4:45.
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, I mean, if we don't go to the pumpkin patch at noon, we're not going. We're not going. We're sitting in the house and it's next weekend again.
It's too true, too true. Now, do you think your first exposure to the song was through the video, Akilah?
You know, because of the time period, most likely, and also probably not to completion. This would have still been the, like, you know, twilight era of TRL. They were on their way out, but they were still putting out these episodes, and I feel like it was definitely on there. It was like number 8, and I'm like, it deserves to be number 8.
Right, and they're only playing, like, they play, like, one course in the music video, and then they move on to number 7, because they got to play the whole number 1 video.
Okay. Absolutely. That's right. Yeah, I mean, that's the way I remember it. It's like on radio and TRL, and I might be wrong about this, but I feel like this song is coming out on the heels of Since You've Been Gone, which is also like a huge smash and this like just shout along empowerment anthem. So people are ready for like the follow up ballad.
I mean, for me, that's the number one way you improve the song is titling it Because of You. The letter you. Why is it since you've been gone, but because of YOU?
That's a good
What's
point.
Up with that?
Because we're getting serious.
You're right. Because
it's
that
because
one's,
we're getting serious.
That one's the rock pop ballad, and this one's the serious one. You can't spell it with you. You're right.
And also, like the person who they're talking about, you know, this is an ex. This is a you've been gone. My life is great. You're not even. You don't deserve the other two letters. This you is a oh man. You've impacted my life deeply, and I'm gonna hold you accountable in song.
Yeah. and therefore the full pronoun shall apply.
Deeply like Oedipal reasons, as we learned from the video.
Let me get into the lyrics, guys. Let me see if I can play up verse 1 here.
I will not make the same mistakes that you did. I will not let myself cause my heart so much misery. Felt so hard. I've learned the hard way to never let it get that far.
There's just something about the vocal processing that just screams 2004.
Yeah.
That's just like, this is a 2004
song. It's like she's
under
a blanket. Yeah.
It's like we've decided we're going to use digital producing, and that's the way we're going to do it, but it doesn't sound great yet, so we'll just like compress the vocals and kind of like make you sound like you're a ghost.
Yeah. Like haunted.
But the song is about being haunted, so it could have been on purpose.
Yeah,
you could imagine that conversation in the recording booth. Like, let's go for a ghost. Can we go for poltergeist?
Yes. Yeah. Now, the kind of ghostly vibe here, Evan and Akilah, this is a little bit of a clue.
Okay.
Akilah, Evan and I have been doing a little bit of a personal challenge every episode that Evan hates. Evan, you claimed you're going to have a theme song for this ready this week. Do you have a theme song ready yet?
No.
Okay, so now he hates it even more because he's been called out for not having the theme song.
I'm in denial this is happening.
But this is exciting because now it's a little bit more of a competition, not just between me and Evan, but between you and Evan.
Yeah.
I'm going to offer to Venmo you $5,
oh,
either of you,
moly,
who can answer this question.
That's enough to upgrade your breakfast burrito with guacamole.
This question.
That's right. I could get the bacon.
Or just pay the old price you used to pay for your breakfast burrito before Chrissy
Teigen.
That's
right, exactly.
Advertised it.
Before the Chrissy Teigen markup,
yeah.
Yes.
the question is, the two co-writers of this song, what enormous band are they from? Huge band of this era.
You're saying, Kelly Clarkson wrote the song, but you're saying
they're two co-writers.
Probably her producers are credited with.
They're not. I don't believe they're. Maybe they produced the song, but they came in later. She actually, this is wild to me, wrote the first draft of the song at age 16.
Really?
Tried to put it on her first album.
Okay.
And was told by Simon
Cowell. So the teen angst is real.
She was laughed out of the room, she claims, by Simon Cowell, which is why she kind of decided to leave him. You know, she thought she was not being taken seriously.
Fuck off, Simon.
I get that his whole vibe is just like being super harsh and shaming people and insulting people all the time. But once you already won the TV show and...
Right, yeah. I'm like, dude, we both got rich on me. Like, let's all just acknowledge.
He couldn't help it.
Because of me.
Yeah, where's the nice British version of Simon Cowell who like...
Yeah.
Tell Zane and Harry Styles that they're not going to win the competition, but puts together One Direction and manages them to supreme success. Where's that nicer British version of Simon Cowell for Kelly Clarkson?
Americans don't get that. We don't get to have the coddled nice show. That's British Bake Off. That's not this. This is Horrible Existence starring Kelly Clarkson.
Okay, so there's $5 on the table, guys. For the Chrissy Teigen markup.
Okay.
So you're not giving us the hint of what their names are.
The hint is, I'm not going to tell you the names of the musicians. You would have no idea who they are. But they're in a band. And the hint was that it matches with the ghostly feeling of the song.
Oh, I know exactly who it is.
And dare I say it, the production of the vocals.
I know exactly who it is.
What?
Okay, I'll Venmo you $5 if you can get it right here, Akilah.
I continue to be shamed on my own show.
Pussyfoot around. I believe it's Evanescence.
Yes! Ah! Yes! Akilah won before Evan ever did. This is basically an Evan. And once you hear it, you can't unhear it. You're just like, this is just an Evanescence song, right?
Yeah, I thought, wake me up.
I'm crushed. The band's even named after me. I can't guess it right.
The essence of Evan. Yeah.
What was their second song? They had that, like, Wake Me Up Inside, and then My Immortal, which sounds exactly like this piano was.
Yes, yeah. Comes in with a lamenting piano.
Same key,
but Wake Me
I
Up
think.
Starts with, like, a quiet part, right? Before,
yeah,
like, the loud
it
chord.
Piano.
It sounds like that. Doo, it just sounds doo, like the doo. Beginning quiet part of Wake Me Up.
Yes. Honestly, I wish we had done that song. That song rules. That song is crazy.
Oh,
wow.
I love that the reference was that it was ghostly.
Yeah. Just all the clue was, imagine it's the weekend after Daylight Savings and you're staring out a window at a ghost in your yard. And Akilah was like, oh, Evanescence.
Yeah, they spooky as hell. They spooky as hell.
They spooky as hell.
2004, who was creeping me out? Definitely Evanescence.
Yeah. Oh, they're like, their whole game is just being Halloween all year long.
Yeah, they're just like a little pale all the time. That's it. I love it. Well, I love that game. That's a fun game.
Yeah.
Now I'm coming on next week.
Yeah, great. I'm just going to be bludgeoned every week by
subsidizing my income.
Yeah, I left my phone out of the booth to be professional, so mm-hmm. I wouldn't even be thinking about it. Mm-hmm. But if I have to take a pee break, that $5 is going to hit your Venmo wallet.
Dude, I believe you. I'm not hard up, you know? If it doesn't happen this week.
Because if I'm taking a pee break, that's going to include, you know, just a second to check my Instagram likes.
Sure.
Yeah, it's important. You guys see what's going down.
Okay, let's see what's going next in this next stanza here. Oof.
Now, I'm on the edge of my seat right now because you were so clear that you were so happy to elaborate on a known pet peeve of yours about this song. Yes. I feel like it has to be in the chorus. This isn't going to be a verse 2 complaint. This is not going to be a bridge complaint. I'm positive you're about to hit us with it. What is your gripe, Akilah?
I think the word sidewalk sounds bad in song. Insane. Like trying to sing sidewalk seriously is like when Taylor Swift sings the word bleachers. I'm out.
I leave the song.
I don't relate to this anymore. No. This was someone walking down the street at Halloween and they're like, I am on a sidewalk, so I don't stray too far from it. I'm like, yeah, don't walk in the street. It's the sidewalk.
What if the sidewalk was moist?
Right.
A moist sidewalk.
Are you saying that moist is further, your lyric pet peeve?
No, it's just a known. I feel like that's known to be the most hated word of the just word people. Yeah. Moist. People hate that
you
word.
You sing that in
come
song.
Back around. My least favorite word is folks, because I feel like I say forks.
Folks, this has been a tough 10 years for you. As guys becomes mildly controversial, all of a sudden folks is surging as guys goes away.
Definitely. Joe Biden's president. I'm hearing folks all the time.
Oh, would you prefer? You're
fully
guys?
Triggered every day.
I love guys, dudes, y'all, peeps, homies.
I'm okay with the androgynous asexual use of guys, but I get that there's controversy.
I agree. Yeah. Same with dudes.
Yeah, I've tried to in my emails at least. I've just tried to eliminate any sort of pronoun at all. It's just all hi.
I think that's beautiful.
That's a bold. That could
be unfortunately, one for emphasis, I either have to curse or say dudes. That's really, these are my emphasis words.
So sidewalk is your complaint.
You have to curse. Hey,
sidewalk
shit.
Is really hard for me.
Just the assonance of the word sidewalk and the way sidewalk is pronounced. Walk.
Yeah, I think that it just, like, time slows down for me. It's like a bug just got zapped to hell in my home. Like, literally, like, I feel like it's, I don't know. Anytime a character who has superpowers is getting angry and the lights start flickering, like that's how I feel when I hear the word sidewalk.
I'm imagining like you with your head shaved under like fluorescent lights, your nose is bleeding and you're about to tear someone apart in Stranger Things when sidewalk hits. For me,
like the music starts dimming out the moment I hear the word and my eyes just lose all the light behind them.
So
Iron Man turns to Hulk and is like, now would be a really great time to be angry. Mm-hmm. And Hulk is like, don't worry, someone just said sidewalk.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I'm ramping up.
That's my secret. Someone's always saying sidewalk.
Exactly. Unfortunately, I live near a children's school, and they tell them to stay on the sidewalk a lot.
How dare they?
Yeah, it is, I think, just like so inartful. Like the song is supposed to be important, and I'm like, your words for like I no longer trust anyone around me or I don't stray from the sidewalk.
Yeah, this is the one thing that is a good thing. Like I get this song is about the impact of trauma on her life. I love it. The fact that this song made the top 40 is like shocking and says good things about our culture. And yet, if you're not straying too far from the sidewalk into traffic, that's good. This is a good lesson.
I will say when this song was a hit single, I was working at a corporate bookstore, the Radford University bookstore, owned by Barnes & Noble. And it was like the law in the bookstore. You could only listen to one radio station. This was on. I heard this so many times while I was working at that bookstore. This and Since You've Been Gone. Mm-hmm. And I'm so embarrassed that line, I never strayed far from the sidewalk. I was just like, oh, this is a song about how great someone is. Good job keeping them from straying from the sidewalk. And I listened to it like one time. I'd never seen the video. I watched the video one time and I was like, oh, it's bad they're not straying too far from the sidewalk. But I perceive that to be a good thing, to not stray from the sidewalk. But, you know, as a 22-year-old, you know, malcontent, you know, working a dead-end job immediately after I graduated from college, trying to ignore the music in the Radford University bookstore, it was just like, oh, yeah, it's a song about great parenting styles.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, it's a beautiful romantic song.
You heard the first line in the chorus.
Yeah, I listened to the first line of the chorus, and then I zoned out to go, like, sell $10,000 textbooks.
Yeah. Also, I learned to play on the safe side so I don't get hurt is the second line. The only thing that doesn't work is the trusting people thing, but I'm like, again, I don't think you getting hurt. Like, I mean, if okay, fine. Maybe you're settling for terrible dudes. Maybe that's the subtext here. But the way that I'm hearing it is far more like, yeah, I'm playing on the safe side. I mean, if you're talking about sidewalks, I'm already taken to K-12. So, like, sidewalks are a very elementary school memory for me. And then to be like, I play on the safe side so I don't get hurt. I'm like, right, because the nurse is busy. And you falling off the slide would be a big waste of her time.
Yeah, you play on the safe side. You have succeeded in learning good lessons about life.
Yeah, there is kind of like a major like hopscotch or like don't step on the crack, you'll break your mother's back vibe that even the video, you know, you're seeing all these kids. It's just like, yeah, not getting hurt seems great. Like how many times a week do I talk to Evan and he's at the urgent care facility in his neighborhood getting his kids stitched up? It would be great if that didn't happen to him.
Yeah. Kids be on the sidewalk, they be stepping off.
Yeah,
I think it's good that they're not.
Yeah, my kids be jumping off of bunk beds onto like a hard tile floor. It's foolish.
Oh, yeah.
If only they had learned the lessons from this song. Because of you, I learned not to juggle knives.
That's a great punch up. I think that's better. I would sing along to that.
Now, it's twisted, though, because that's the positive because of you version.
Yes. Gotta change it to positive. Also, just one more thing about sidewalk. You all are better singers than me. When I hear this song in the wild, and you know, I like to sing along to Kelly Clarkson songs, the word sidewalk feels very weirdly placed to sing. I just feel like it sounds like it never sounds beautiful. It sounds like, oh man, I wish the next word would happen because we are stretching all as the sound.
Yeah, if you have to put sidewalk in a line, you at least don't end with it. You kind of put it in the middle of the line, you get by it, and then you finish on a nice long vowel.
You know what it reminds me of is like Beyonce really leaning into surfboard as like a really American word that you swallow because of the way Americans say ours. And so it's like singing sidewalk means you have this long W and an L that you're just swallowing. Like, and you sound like it's not like because of you, you're just holding these vowels and then you're forced to go sidewalk.
Like someone's choking you out. It's those LKs. That's why I don't like the word folk. It's like I could be saying side fork and it would sound the same.
I know your Achilles heel. When we go karaoke together, I'm going to be googling songs
I'm
about
do this
walking
song.
And talking.
Next time we go karaoke together, which we've done this before, and when you're a gritty Brooklyn girl again, I'm going to do this song.
You're going to be like, Akilah's back is drenched with sweat. She is enraged. She's unplugging.
And when I hit the word sidewalk, I'm going to sound like a British actor in the television show The Wire. I'm just going to be like, because of you,
because
I never stray from the sidewalk.
Because of you, I learned to enunciate. I walk all oldly around. Let me play the second
like
verse.
That they can do a walk. I mean, walk the line. I feel like country songs can handle it because of the accent.
Yeah.
But
or you make a note to yourself. You put it in the teleprompter when you're on stage. You spell it W-O-K, period. It's just a walk.
But you're also not saying
that's
like,
where I'm making my food.
You're not saying, you know, the line is what I walk. You're saying I walk the line. You know, you're putting a nice long vowel at the end of the
I'm Googling right now because I bet you some big country star also covered it. It might be Reba. It's Reba.
Reba covered this song.
Reba covered this.
Yes. And I'm like, I bet you. And like with Kelly, I guess it says artist. So it's a duet album and they both sing it. And I think, quite frankly, I bet it sounds better with a country accent.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that you're just rocketing into the top tier of potential podcasts. Like, our whole job is Googling the song, and here you are just Googling live. I love to see it.
All the audio is just me loudly typing. But yes, truly, I had to know because I'm like, you make a beautiful point. Any other accent or attempt could at least soften the way this feels. But when you hear it, I mean, this is the hill I will die on.
Is there a synonym for sidewalk? If you have to keep the sentiment of like, you're not straying the path, because of you, I never stray far from
Or just make it some other thing. Yeah, the bike lane.
Because of you, I don't leap into traffic.
Exactly. You could just say the queue, like the line, the queue. I'm straying too far from the queue. But that might be different in our time, you know? Unfortunately, queue might be something else.
Yeah, that was in the Susan Boyle cover, you know, produced by Simon Cowell.
Yes, the walkway, you know, just like the driveway. There's got to be some piece of concrete that she's not straying from.
Yeah.
Any of these for me work.
The next section of this song is like getting a little bit more into like specific trauma impact that track for me. Tell me how these read for you. And it's not too long before you point it out. I cannot cry because I know that's weakness in your eyes. I'm forced to fake a smile, a laugh every day. Okay, then we're back into
Yeah. But I gotta say, the width also, another hard vowel to just like try to carry into a chorus. I'm not with it. I'm not with it.
One thing I'm appreciating about this perspective is the very karaoke centered mindset.
Because Kelly is the karaoke queen. She has hits on hits. It's such a bummer that a ballad by Kelly Clarkson cannot be sung to full capacity. And then you just like, hoping whoever chose it just like
Setting aside the fact
that you can skip it. It didn't work.
Yes. Well, like, since you've been gone is like all time Hall of Fame, like possibly top 10 karaoke song.
Yes.
Ever.
Like the whole room is vibing.
The whole room screaming it out.
People are going to the bathroom and ordering beverages at this point.
Is Kelly Clarkson the karaoke queen because she began her career by winning the ultimate karaoke competition? Like, did she just come into her career as just like, I know what kind of belter like affects people and I'm going to put them out on my own. Like, no longer must I cover Simon Cowell demand after Simon Cowell demand, but I'll make nothing but karaoke bangers.
Yes. Also, I would say as a person who is an alto and, you know, I don't know how good I am anymore. All of her songs start alto and then by the chorus are like way higher up than you hoped. Great. Like even all of the harmonies are the one note alto, which is like the worst if you're ever in a choir, because they're like, we don't even care what you sound like. We don't even know you're there. Just be like, dow, 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 dow. Like you can just be talking. It's a fucking disaster. I think that like they leaned into that in all of her songs, including the like faster, more pop punk of the like Since You've Been Gone vibe. I mean, that music video feels pop punk, but the song's all pop. But it's, yeah, I think that she always has to start as low as she can possibly go, which is why it sounds gritty. And then people start to, you know, find our confidence there. And then you just have to scream at the chorus, which is what karaoke is about.
That's how you manage to sound like a ghost, is by saying yes.
Exactly. You got to get the gravel down here and then you can throw it up like an exorcist situation.
Well, every song from this era is just making room for the chorus to be this huge uplift screaming belter. So you have to start down way low in your alto register or whatever to leave that room to leap up on the chorus. Like that's how every song was written. Yeah.
There was no consistency.
Now, meanwhile, like, again, I'm a person who thought this song was about someone very helpful who keeps you on the sidewalk. But reading the lyrics and re-listening to the lyrics of the second verse, this basically is like a song about helicopter parenting, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's like a song about... It's a song about being a bad parent or having a bad parent.
Yes, I think the song is actually about her dad and saying, like, yes, it's like a toxic emotional environment. Like, I'm not allowed to cry or you shame me. You know,
I also, like, for some reason had a hard time with pop songs about dads. I think that they just, like, don't land for me really often. And so I was like, I thought it was about the boyfriend. And then I'm like, wait, you're with a dude where you feel like you can't cry? Like, I'm sorry, but like, I know that some people are in those relationships, but I think that that made it worse with Sidewalk because it was such a infantilizing word.
You thought it was a boyfriend, like, who was being very careful about his girlfriend being on sidewalks.
That's way worse.
And she's like, I can't leave the sidewalk now because of you. And it's like, I think you can leave him. And also, like, it just seems like a relationship that is so bad. Like, it never seems outwardly necessarily, like, physically abusive. Obviously, there's some emotional trauma here. But I felt like if this is a boyfriend who literally makes it so that you can't trust people around you, you gotta change that boyfriend. So then how much longer can the song go? And this is her chance to express to him, right? Because of you, to him, and she's using the word sidewalk, I would start infantilizing her, too. I'd be like, listen, you're a child. You think that I'm this bad. Maybe you were always this bad. And now I'm abusing Kelly Clarkson emotionally. We can't leave that in, unfortunately.
Also, if this is a song about a boyfriend who's this bad, it's two in the present tense. Put it in the past tense, lady. Get out of there.
Exactly. Like, how can it be he's gone? Like, since you've been gone, your life is better. But actually, because of him, you can't cry. Too much. Too much.
But one of the things that blew my mind looking at the video, I was just scrolling through the YouTube comments like you do, especially if you're a YouTuber. Mm-hmm. First of all, it blew my mind how many views this video has because YouTube doesn't
exist when the song comes out.
For me, in my head, like, the biggest Kelly Clarkson songs have to be What Kills You Make You Stronger or Since You've Been Gone, right?
Okay.
This song,
bigger than a moment like this?
This song has... Because of You has more streams on Spotify and YouTube than either of those songs. Like, it's been this slow burn. It never charted as high, but people are listening to it so much. And scrolling through the YouTube comments is like being at a support group for people with bad parents. Like, every comment is just like, all of us here truly understand what it is like to have a narcissistic parent who holds them back. This song is so powerful. It's like someone is sharing it in their support groups or something. And it's
I feel like that's probably that, or like people who don't listen to the lyrics playing it at their wedding as like their first dance song. They're like, this is good. I'm going to dance with my father and he's not going to get it because he's not an artist. Everyone is like in the audience, like winking, like, yeah, he's a shitty dad, but he was still invited.
Or the daughter is just like, oh, dad, thank you so much for keeping me on the sidewalk. There's that time I was almost hit by a car. Wait a minute. I'm just listening to the rest of the chorus for the first time.
This is a terrible mistake.
One person who was invited who's just like writing a YouTube comment in that moment. They're like, I'm at a wedding right now where they clearly don't understand what this song is about. Thank you all, YouTube commenters, for understanding and getting me.
But that's my only explanation I can think of why this song has churned and burned on Spotify and YouTube to have so many more views than the songs I thought were bigger hits is that a lot of people hate their parents.
And it just endures, you know, since you've been gone is like such a specific era, whereas like this is too, but I feel like with ballads, because there are so few like sticky ones, they just kind of live forever.
Yeah, a lot of people just take a stab at a ballad because you feel like you gotta have room for one on your album, and you just throw one out there, see if it sticks, and it's usually terrible.
You're friends with Evanescence.
You thought about the up-tempo lead single first, and then everybody just forgets about them. And this one was sticky. Like,
you
this
also,
one nailed it.
You also have the crossover here of people that are accidentally listening to the song because they thought it was an Evanescence song.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's right. Evanescence, you know, they were jonesing for another ballad from them. They were like, My Immortal touched me in my 10th grade soul. I'm ready for the sequel. This is not quite as good.
Let me just cue up my favorite Evanescence song with those ghostly vocals at the top and the sad piano.
Guys, the rest of the song is like chorus, chorus, bridge, chorus. And then, as a surprise to no one, they ratcheted it up a whole step with a big fat modulation at the end.
What's the bridge? What's the bridge to this?
Can we hear this
play
bridge?
We're on a chorus here. I'm going to play and fade down. So you got to hear what's going on here. We're okay. Still on the sidewalk. We're back to the chorus.
Okay.
Okay, you've damaged my ability to trust.
The ooze.
Damn.
This is the bridge. Okay. Now we're into the bridge.
I mean, I'll just say, if you just pause it for a second, I'm halfway through the bridge.
Yeah.
If their parent is crying themselves to sleep every night, it's like, really feels like this is a lot more... it's about the cycle of abuse, one might say. You know, your parent seems like they had some problems.
Yeah, yeah. There's no empathy for dad. He's crying every night, but she can't cry. I'm confused.
You know what the dad's problem is? I can guarantee you. I can guarantee you that his parents let him stray from the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And he grew up and he was like, God damn it. My parents let me stray from the sidewalk. I was hit by a car and that's why I have this goddamn limp. I'm never letting my daughter Kelly Clarkson get off a sidewalk. Sidewalk.
Yeah. Are you getting off the side?
Walk.
Get back in the bedroom and keep practicing your karaoke.
It's a pendulum of parenting. It's a pendulum of parenting. Mm-hmm. And, she grew up in Texas. Her dad probably had the same weird childhood as the people in Terrence Malick movies, and he was just like, none of that.
Yep, the greatest generation swinging this way, letting him stray from the sidewalk and getting hit by a buggy. The pendulum comes back, and the boomers be keeping Kelly on the sidewalk when she was a kid, for sure.
She deserves better.
I'm crazy about this line in the middle of the bridge. I was so young, you should have known better than to lean on me.
A lot of people to keep track of.
A lot of people to keep track. This is like like a codependent thing going on here. Mm-hmm. And now the song has become a litany of different things to talk about in therapy.
Just talk about, that's a lot of pronouns. It's a lot of pronouns to be tracking. She should just say, why did you always lean on Kelly?
Yeah.
Help me out here. Who's the me? Who's the you?
Kelly never strays.
Yes. That's the one thing we'll change. That's the one thing we'll change.
Kelly plays on the same side so she doesn't get hurt.
Maybe Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Clarkson. Yeah.
Kelly Clarkson only trusts not only herself, but the one around Kelly.
Some more proper nouns.
Clarkson just sings so much better than Sidewalk. Clarkson.
It does. I never stray too far from the Clarksons.
This is a great punch up.
Stay with the Clarksons.
We need more proper nouns in the song to identify
is
who.
Is this Wikipedia?
Are
or
there
not?
Any? Are there any famous sidewalks? Could we do a proper noun for the sidewalk?
Yeah, only the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
The Champs Elysees.
I never stray too far from Fred Astaire's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
I like that added detail because now there's a weird attachment.
Unfortunately, she's from Dallas, so if you're doing something about a famous sidewalk, you end up making a song about the JFK assassination. It's pretty weird.
That's great. God, yeah.
That's what it's about. Because of him, she never strays.
Maybe that's why her dad was so controlling.
Yep. Her dad, he was Bob there Clarkson Zapruder. on the grassy knoll.
My life changed November 1963, and I decided I'd never stray from a sidewalk again after I saw a grisly sight.
Let me get through the rest of this therapy bridge. You just saw your own pain.
Quiet now.
Oh, you never saw the sensitive chorus coming.
I love it. I'm making fun of it, but I still love the quiet chorus.
I know you're a sucker for it.
Oh!
And that's the point that I stand up and I turn over the tables, wine glasses scattered everywhere.
And that's where if you're an alto at karaoke, you were like, I was barely managing the last time. Yes. Now I gotta go here.
This got way too high.
Yeah. Because
of you. What I love imagining. Oh, a little coda. Mm-hmm. A little coda here.
You just got to sneak in a little ad libs. There's a little bit of showing off before you.
Ooh, kind of back to an Evanescence vibe there at the
end.
Yeah. Like a little hat tip. What that's I love is imagining, you know, 16-year-old Kelly Clarkson, you know, writing these lyrics in her journal. Mm-hmm. You know, aww. American Idol hasn't been invented yet. Whatever the British show was hasn't even been invented yet. Simon Cowell hasn't been invented yet. She's just sitting up.
Yeah.
In the attic, writing in her journal, and she gets to the last line of the bridge, and she just thinks like, and this 16-year-old in Texas, she's like, you know what word I'm gonna write this line? Damn.
Damn, damn, damn.
And I just like imagine it's like the first time Kelly Clarkson ever cussed. It's just like, and now I cry in the middle of the night for the same damn thing.
She's really holding it in. I'm gonna write it in all caps.
And the reason I can I think I'm so tickled by this, frankly, is because I was probably even more prudish than that as a 16-year-old. I would not have written damn in my journal.
Now you've written it down.
I would have been like, no, I cannot say that word. It is unnecessary.
I love that for you.
And that's why I think it tickles me so.
I think it's very sweet. The moment I was like, we're doing journals when I was like 9, I'm like, this is where I write the cusses. No one can read it. No one's ever going to read this. Here's some cusses. Like, just dumb things about Pokemon cards. I'm like, I got 3 fucking Diglets on the playground today. Like, that was how I was living my life. I'm like, I'm out here. No one can control me.
Yeah, just like I want to be a grown woman, so I will write the bad word, and yet I'm writing about just Pokemon.
You're just out there straying from the sidewalk straight to the Diglets.
Exactly. Diglets were my sidewalk. I don't know what your sidewalk was. Waterloo? We don't know. Oh, Kelly. Kelly. I mean, guys, one other complaint is really the drums have nothing to do until the big end. And so it almost feels like the guy's asleep. Like, he's just like, do, 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 do. Like, there's nothing bringing him in. This man is phoning it in. He's like, any minute they're going to do the key change. And we're just going to go insane.
That's this guy's gig. I mean, this guy is probably a computer, but let's pretend it's a real
good point.
Human.
It is literally
his whole gig is to take a 2-minute nap. And then the orchestra conductor pokes him with a baton, and he's like, what? Waking up like Bugs Bunny was hibernating or something.
That's funny. If that's how it happened, she was ramping up, the key was changing, and he woke up and he hit all the drums because he got frightened. And then he just was like, I guess this is how it's going. They're like, he's amazing, and he's like, phew.
That is fascinating, because I actually heard it happened the opposite way. They were in the studio, and the drummer started playing the drums so hard that the conductor just started waving at all the instrumentalists, the 40 violin players in there, and just had to, like, point. Like, guys, point we're up. Going up. Go on, listen to the drums. Taking it up a step.
He's leading.
We weren't planning on this.
Because of
Kelly
you,
just like going higher and higher.
Yeah, listen to that tom fill. Like if he'd hit the drums a little harder, it would have been like a step and a half.
Yeah, we still would have been in the same
God.
Key.
My stomach is killing me. How funny to imagine Kelly Clarkson just like being raised from the seat and just changing the words suddenly because she's so inspired by the drums.
Yeah, she likes to belt, but she didn't want to go that high. Come on.
Yeah, she never came back down, unfortunately. That was where her voice decided to peak and never again to be heard from.
They finished the take, and she's like, guys, I'm an alto. Like,
yeah, like, guys, I actually can't speak. I'm going to be on vocal rest until I do my talk show.
My vocal cords fell out of my neck. They're in the middle of the recording studio.
But we got him. My dad knows now.
Ladies and gentlemen, my dad knows
how we feel. Ladies and gentlemen,
we got him.
When you're Kelly Clarkson, like, you finish this song, the album is coming out. Do you, like,
give your dad a heads up before the album comes out? Do you send
it?
Do you
email the track? I mean, you know, he seems an artful. I think someone else in the family tattles.
Is he already dead?
And then she's mad. I mean, she does say something about him watching him die, but I'm like, is he really dead or is this like an artistic license? You know?
Yeah.
Like, I watched you die in like in my mind, in my journal.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely interpret it as poetic. Like, I watched you die emotionally. Like, you're having a hard time, Dad. You cried every night.
Here's hoping, because otherwise, like, wow, maybe make it a different metaphor. Yeah. Make it a metaphor.
Yeah, if that was literal, then this song got way more Halloween-y than I thought.
Yeah, exactly. Now I understand.
I watched you die. I was standing over your body with a machete.
You walked out of the sidewalk and got hit by 17 buses. It was a parade.
Then the marching band came. It got pretty grisly.
They stomped you back to the sidewalk. You were all mangled up. It was really scary.
Because of you, I had to get a spatula.
Honestly, Kelly, we are fixing it all over the place. We're fixing it.
Oh, there's so many good ideas here. There's so many good ideas. But you know, before we started talking about it, I was scared because the song is so serious, and I thought, you know, what are we going to come away with? Is like an educational song about therapy. Like, we've all been locked in our houses. We've all been doing these COVID times, confronting our own deficiencies and defects, and we're going to come up with a ballad just about therapy. A
theme song.
Yeah. But instead,
what we ended up with
is pretty spooky.
Well, while we're pitching, I think that we should have a remix rap verse where the dad sings back, like in those Barbie girl songs, like the Aqua Band, where the guy's like, actually, I'm not Barbie. Like, I feel like he needs to come in and say something.
That's a really funny idea. You know all those rappers that, like, got put on the verse by, like, the label, and they, like, didn't even really know what the song was, and they just came in, and they're riffing basically on just the title, because that's the only thing they knew. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, like, I would love a Lil Wayne version where it's just, like, because of me, we eating good. Like, he's just, like, rapping through it.
Yeah.
Completely confused.
And he's not really clued in that this is, like, some pretty dark introspective
He's
stuff.
Like, hey, I know you think you had it hard, but when I was a kid, we didn't have a sidewalk.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I strayed from the yard. It wasn't my
I
yard.
I strayed from the yard.
Yeah. Yeah. Because of me won a lot of Grammys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like, baby girl, I'm better than your dad. Just like, I'll give you everything that you never had. Just emotional security.
Just making it weirdly lusty all of a sudden.
A mortgage.
Yeah.
Food.
Like, okay. Exactly. He just starts naming things he can buy for her to fill that dad-shaped hole in her heart.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. For 2004, feels right.
Okay, Andrew, I think we should take a break, take some of these nuggets away.
Yeah, we have a lot to think about.
This is so much good stuff.
I mean, the one thing I'm like legitimately confused about is like when we come back with our punch-up for Aquila, and you know, could be an hour, could be several weeks. Is the word sidewalk going to be in the song more or less? I'm like honestly scared that we're going to come back and there's going to be like 30 sidewalks in here during the dad rap and Aquila is just going to hang up on us.
I mean, at least I would feel like it was intentional this time.
Right. That's fair. Yeah. At least it would be a joke. At least it would
it's
be
fully
a joke.
Blindsided.
Yeah. Our intent would be benevolent, but the impact would be your ears would bleed. Let's take a break. We'll call you back with a punch.
Punch it. Welcome back to Punch Up the Jam, and we have back with us Aquila Hughes. Aquila, thanks for making time for us twice. We really appreciate it.
Of course. This is like a gift, you know? I love seeing you guys, love hearing you. Excited to see what you've done with our brainstorm.
So through the magic of podcasting, I mean, it's been, what, maybe, but I would say between 6 and 12 days since we last spoke. Evan and I, certainly not more than 12, certainly not less than 6.
We took the thesis of what we talked about, and we've focused on one important element of the previous song and made it the focus of the song. So we've definitely improved the lyrics here, and excited to lay them on you.
It's definitely punched up. And the one other thing I will note is I felt very lucky to have Evan in our corner here to sing this one. because something that somehow we got through an entire episode of talking about Kelly Clarkson without mentioning Akilah. I don't know if you know this about Evan, but Evan was a contestant on season 2 of American Idol.
I did not. Wait, are you kidding me?
Evan got the golden ticket. He went to Hollywood. I'm going to brag on him because he's not going to brag on himself.
Oh, my God.
But, like, you know, Evan was only 22 or 21 places away from being the American Idol season 2.
That's the season with Clay and Ruben.
That's exactly.
Yes, you nailed it.
I was deeply invested in American Idol. So, like, you don't understand that I'm going to go back immediately because I'm sure I saw it. It was my favorite show.
I wasn't even really thinking about this when we taped the beginning of the episode, but of course Andrew reminded me about it. So then I went back and painstakingly looked on like old YouTube highlights of season 2.
Did you find yourself?
I found myself in one shot. I found myself in one shot because I didn't make it further than that. So they didn't invest like even B-roll time on me. Like there's no, even though like, you know, it's so funny to think that like, oh, I had spent days of my life involved in this process by the time you make it to Hollywood. And yet they can only create the storyline around like maybe 20 people or so on. But it is documented that I was in the photo. The shot I was in was with my crazy roommate. I think his name was Steven or Stefan.
I don't even remember him.
And I mean, this guy was crazy. Like, went out the night before the like big audition day drinking and stuff. Like, stuff that is like just wildly irresponsible. And sure enough, he made it like maybe one day further than me. You're in Hollywood there for like 5 days. And I got cut on pretty much the first day they were doing a full day of auditions. He made it one more day, but then was made out on the show to be a crazy person. So that was really validating.
They're like, this man's actually a serial killer, so he can't be a singer.
Now, what I will say, this is like 2002, 2003. So basically, like, the internet has started, but YouTube does not exist yet. And I remember Evan describing his audition to us. This is before he went to Hollywood to tape. But, you know, talking about like, okay, Simon gave me the golden ticket, you know, and him telling us that Simon had compared his singing voice to a man. Evan was like, no one has heard of this singer, but apparently he was really famous in the 80s. He's gone away. He's been forgotten by our society. Simon compared me to a man by the name of Rick Astley.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this is like and 4 or 5 years before the existence of Rickrolling.
Much later, you know, like he had hits in the 80s. You're not wrong. But didn't his video just hit like a billion views on YouTube? Like that was the real moment. Finally.
Yes,
Rick
I think
Rolling.
So.
We've gotten.
Now if Simon heard someone whose voice he wanted to compare to Rick Astley, he'd be managing you like he'd manage One Direction. He'd be like,
I know.
You know, he thought Rick Astley stock was. He thought that Rick Astley was just like not worth his while. He thought that just the new Rick Astley was not worth his while. But
yeah,
like,
he thought diminishing returns, but quite the opposite. He's actually going to be president.
I think the basic comparison was like, you don't look like you sound. Like,
oh yeah, that like, makes sense. Yeah, like you were like, I mean, yeah, do you have like a big old black voice, Evan? Are you gonna?
Maybe Rick Astley does sound like what he looks like.
I think Rick Astley sounds like a black man. The first time I found out he was a redhead, I was shook.
Yeah, that's the appeal of Rick Astley. Yeah, he sounds like he looks now just because you know the song.
You're
right.
And I've seen that in another video, yeah.
Yeah, back in the day, you're just like, you're shocked when you hear that on the radio and then you see a picture of pasty Scottish man.
Yeah, I guess you're kind of like, is this a Luther Vandross B-side?
I love that for you. I love the all of these comparisons for you are fucking great.
I will take Rick Astley any day of my life, especially from the mouth of Simon Cowell.
Thank you, Simon.
Thank you, Simon. I don't want to hold the prize from you any longer. This is our punch of
our
Because of You.
Irrefutably better version.
Irrefutably better.
Of Kelly Clarkson's Because of You.
Indubitably. Here it is.
This is an audio format, but we just got a big thumb up from Akilah.
I wanna say, I think I sent the wrong message. Here's a PSA. Sidewalks are gray, unequivocally. Kelly will the sidewalk. I've learned the hard way to only walk in designated places. Sidewalks go through Kelly's neighborhood for Kelly to walk.
There's no confusion about who's talking here.
Sidewalks is true. Kelly Clark.
This is clearly about Kelly.
That's a sidewalk. Sidewalks do anything you want as long as it's walking on the sidewalk when sidewalks are few. I am afraid. I make exceptions. For example, if I'm strolling through the forest.
There's no sidewalks there.
Or to
it'd be a path, maybe.
To my preferred falafel food truck. If in the rain, moistness has soaked Kelly Clarkson's corduroys. Kelly Clarkson will sprint across the parking lot.
Took the key change.
Yes.
Another key change bonus.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. You boys should be so proud. It is better. I see that we took the suggestion to not have the word sidewalk so prominently featured and just made it about sidewalk. But I do think that the message is clearer. The message, we know exactly who we're talking about. Kelly Clarkson, Kelly Slacks.
Mm-hmm.
No confusion there.
No, we're clearing a lot of things up with this one.
We just asked ourselves, yeah. What's the note behind the note?
What's the
you
note?
Know? Yes. Your note was... Maybe sidewalk shouldn't be in the song, and we thought,
maybe sidewalk is the song.
Maybe it is.
Maybe we just weren't clear enough about sidewalks and their usage. The one thing I'm sort of second guessing here is I'm not sure that this song will take off within the community of people who think that their parents have narcissistic personality disorder.
Yeah, I can't imagine the meeting that this works for. Maybe for like children who need to understand that sidewalks are where they're supposed to be. I feel like that is a song that can play forever. Also, the key changes. I mean, we went up 80 octaves. We're on another planet now.
Well, the tastiest musical moment from the original version is just that crowbar modulation before the last chorus, just taking it up. It lifts you. You're feeling great. Yeah. So... you have to ask the question, why are you not doing it five times? And just...
is once ever enough, you know?
Is once ever enough. If this works once, why doesn't it work N number of times?
Yes.
Why not get lifted five times?
Get lifted. But listen, I have to say, basically just from one creator to another, that now that I've done the modulation joke by doing multi-modulation in one punch, I've killed it for the rest of our time here on Punch Up the Jam. It's like I can't do that joke again on any song that has a modulation. I can't do multi-modulations. Like, we spent that joke here and we spent it well.
Yeah, I feel incredibly grateful that you stretch those vocal cords all the way to the sky. I mean, just for me and my, I feel so privileged to be the first to hear it. I can't wait. I bet you this will become the new theme song. Does Kelly Clarkson still have her like TV show? She's like a daytime talk show. If she's still on there, that should be the new theme song.
Good question. My people are going to call her people, and we will get this on.
Yeah, just like she needs to hear this shit. She needs to know that this was actually the intent of the song. And like, look, we saw what you did in your diary when you were 15. We saw where you were going with it. Important message. But side message.
Side message.
Relatable message.
I'm not sure Kelly Clarkson should be the target for this. I think maybe we've got to get it to Simon Cowell.
Oh my God, yes. He'll be like, you know, I knew that he had something and it took some time for me to figure it out, but it was the sidewalk. I see it. He is the American Idol.
Just don't ask me to repeat this vocal performance.
Can we join American Idols?
I couldn't talk for a day after I recorded this.
I mean, I feel like just like listening to it, my vocal cords tried to do it and now I can barely do it. Like, I was like, this could be a karaoke song. And I'm like, not by the end. Not by the end. It's beautiful.
I think this is going to be, I'm just going to give you this song so you can have it on your phone and be a great troll at any point to just start playing this and people think it's going to be because of you, but it turns out to be because of Sidewalks.
Mm. Or you could set it as your ringtone.
That would be iconic. And you know what? I hope people call me while I'm walking on the sidewalk with my dog and somebody else has their dog and they hear it playing and they're like, what is that song? And they're like, you haven't heard Sidewalks, man? Because of Sidewalks, it's pretty much the best remix that's ever have.
And a very helpful PSA.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the streets are going to be talking about getting on the sidewalk.
pop music for the urban designer set.
Yeah. Yes. The young folks who are just now getting their sidewalk legs, the sea legs, their side legs, they're out here and they're experiencing what an urban environment can be safely. We all just use what's available to us.
We use what's available to us.
I think sidewalks.
Thank you for reviewing our punch so generously. We took a shot at taking your pet peeve of the song and making it the focus of the song, and you took it in stride with humor and grace. For that, I thank you.
Thank you so much for being so thoughtful, and I do think that you did surprise me today. Yeah. But it was a good surprise, like the kind you want.
Right.
If you step off of a sidewalk and get hit by a car.
That's the best. You surprised me in a good way is the best possible review I could get.
And I'm learning that the one other major similarity between us and Rick Astley, it turns out, is just trolling.
It's a good point. You know, we all just love it and we're better for it.
We will be back after this with walk-in music.
Yeah, we'll be back after this with a little segment we'll explain to you after the break, Akilah.
Evan, this week I went to a New Year's party in my building's courtyard. There was hot cocoa. We sang a couple belated Christmas songs, and I felt like the hero of the party because I showed up with a couple boxes of Magic Spoon. There are a couple people in my building who eat gluten-free. I personally don't. But hey, what a nice treat to bring to your gluten-free eating friends. So even if you don't eat gluten-free, give it a shot. It's healthy. And when that friend, family member, lover comes over who's eating gluten-free, you got the Magic Spoon in the cabinet. Major points, major props. There's 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. And only 140 calories a serving.
Magic Spoon is keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb. I'll go out there and say it's people-free. They can borrow that slogan from me.
I recommend buying the variety pack. There's 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter. Maybe you have a one-night stand. In the morning, you wake up, he or she is gluten-free. They get to pick. What are they having for breakfast?
This ad is getting rather lusty.
What can I say? My building holiday party went in a strange direction. Go to magicspoon.com/jam and grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code JAM at checkout to save $5 off your order.
Don't get me started on a Magic Spoon's crazy 100% happiness guarantee. If you don't like it for any reason, they refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/jam and use the code JAM to save $5 off. And hey, thanks to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this episode.
Punch it. Punch it!
Akilah, it's been so great to catch up with you, but you've also just been a fantastic guest. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You dialed in twice. You work twice as hard as most podcast guests. Most podcast guests are just calling in once. That's the hard part, is calling in. It's not the talking part.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know you were going to answer. I felt like, you know, is this going to be an awkward conversation? Has something happened in my life that I'm unaware that I will bring up and then I'll be scandalized by it? You know, it really went pretty great.
But you phoned it in twice. And in this context, that is a compliment.
You phoned in twice, but you did not phone it in figuratively.
That's right.
As you may recall, Akilah, Demian Miel, the previous host of Punch Up the Jam, used to do a segment called Unpunchable Jams. And if we learned anything from their amazing run as hosts, is that, frankly, there's no such thing as an unpunchable jam. They punched up basically every song almost. We're struggling just to find songs that they didn't punch up. We're rolling out a new segment, and the new segment, Akilah, is called Walk-In Music. What is your walk-in song? Really, to any event you can dream of. You know, you can imagine Mariano Rivera, you know, the closing pitcher walking out to a Yankees game playing Inner Sandman.
Yeah.
You know? But it could just be what you want to play, like, you know, the lights dim at a party from 20% to 10%, and this song comes on and you're walking in. So think about it for a second.
That's important, because, you know, some people think of walk-in music as something that's permanently associated with you. That's not the way we're thinking about it. I mean,
I was thinking about it, but Evan is making me think of more walk-in songs.
Yeah, well, I'm changing
it. And, you know, every context is different. You know, like, if I'm coming on to Jerry Springer to, like, beat somebody up, they got to be playing something different.
That's exactly what I'm screaming at.
Then you're playing Because of You by Kelly Clarkson.
Exactly. I stand at the top of the stairs like the Undertaker.
Just like with a bat, as Kelly Clarkson, as the key change hits on Because of You.
Yes.
So I'll start with
the show gets canceled.
I'll start with my new punch up. You know, I've done a couple. I'll start with my walk-in song. I've done a couple walk-in songs I've done already. I've done
what is this Bob specific O'Reilly. Scene? Set the scene.
I've done, the scene. What is the scene here? I think the scene here is you're walking into an Irish pub that's on your block, kind of a Cheers situation, and you're high-fiving, dapping all your friends.
A familiar scene. Where everybody knows your name.
So let's hear the beginning of it.
Here it is.
Oh, you hear that piano? Must be Andrew. This is a song. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. Oh, and the doors swing open. There it is. This is a major thing.
Oh, it feels so good.
Major, like, need for my walk-in songs, Akilah, that I've all talked about with Evan, is that I strongly feel that walk-in songs, maybe yours doesn't, I don't want to offend you here, I want mine to start with, like, a little bit of an instrumental tease, just so everyone can kind of perk up in their seat. Could it be?
That's a great attribute.
Yeah.
That's a great attribute. It's like a signature riff that signals very strongly what is to come.
Really short. Bob O'Reilly's too long. As we discussed, I would have to cut down a version to give
you
a DJ.
Custom edit.
But this one just has like a 5 or 6 second little tease.
What is the song called? Who sings it?
It's called Caravan. It's by Van Morrison.
You might it's not his most famous song. You probably recognize his Irish singing.
Now, when I think of Caravan, it's not his most famous song. I first found out about it probably the way a lot of people find out about it for the first time, which is watching the documentary The Last Waltz about the band's last concert. And when he sings this in The Last Waltz, he's wearing a super tight purple jumpsuit. He still has the same body shape he has now as a 72-year-old man. He's this kind of pudgy Irish guy in a full purple bodysuit with rhinestones, and he's doing karate kicks. And I also just want to emphasize that I would be doing that while I'm going around high-fiving. I'd be wearing a bodysuit, I'd be doing karate kicks between high-fives. And everyone would love it because it's an Irish bar. Everyone would be like, fan the man, this is the greatest. I also want to say I'm absolutely disassociating my love of this song and Van Morrison from any opinions he has about COVID.
Oh, I mean, that's fair. Yeah, we don't know
any of his opinions about liking Eric Clapton.
Yeah, we know that this man does not have good opinions about epidemiology. We're going to forget about that and just think about his skin-tight 70s style that Andrew is bringing back into the now.
Akilah, I'll email you the video. It's just insane how high he can get his foot. But if you're listening at home, I encourage you to look up Van Morrison's performance in The Last Waltz, and just like, you just don't know how hard this guy karate kicks.
Awesome. Okay, this song is called Caravan.
This song rips. It's also got such a like warmth. I think that this actually is really fitting for you. You strike me as like a guy who's like always been a dad, and like in my mind, you're like always been like a guy who's looking out for his friends, making sure everybody got something to eat at the party. You know,
so
you just got good energy, man. That's a good energy song.
That's the best compliment you're gonna get all weekend.
I didn't think about this with the walking song. With walking songs, I'm always thinking about the beginning, but that end is a really nice end to a walking song. With
like
the
kind of great song.
La 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 la. Just like the
we're
an instrumental
all singing
vocal.
Along as you.
just the warm vibes right when it starts just feels like the like closing credits of the most heartwarming family movie you've watched. You feel
the glow.
Maybe it's your walk-in song and your walk-out song. You're like coming into the bar. You're doing like a 3-minute loop where you're getting everyone high five. You're doing like 40 karate kicks, and then like you're like you do a couple of shots. And then you're just like waving on your way out the door. One last karate kick, you're gone. And everyone's
that
like,
that guy is a tsunami. He just comes in here and he just drinks and says hi. And everybody loves it. And he never stays more than 2.5 minutes.
Wow. Andrew had to go back home. Be a dad.
Grand opening, grand closing. He's on house arrest and they're on the way.
By the time he gets home with his ankle bracelet, the cops will be there waiting for him. Akilah, what is your walk-in song? And what's the event?
Okay. It is, let's see. So the event for this walk-in song is, it's either like a WrestleMania final event in like long lead, you know, like I'm standing there still like Michael Jackson at the Super Bowl for like a long time.
Yeah.
I'm standing there.
Yeah. I'm imagining like a light coming on behind you, your backlit,
totally,
just your silhouette.
You can only see
Akilah's
shadow.
Yes. It's super good like that. But I also, as we were talking, you know, I kind of see it as like the introduction. Mm-hmm. These are words. Introduction to me as a character in a film, like in like a superhero film. Like I'm the person who, like, you know, the Avengers are down. Thanos is like, we about to snap twice now because you all are coming back. It's pissing me off. And then a big old portal opens. And everybody's like slowly turning their head and it's me. And I am standing there again for way too long. He snaps twice.
You stood too long for your own song.
There's still 30 seconds of just like, you have to get it. But I think that the reason I love this is because it's a mashup. It's a remix, I guess, of two songs. It is a little unsurprising when the drop happens and then it goes so hard and makes so much sense that you're like, of course she chose this.
Just from my perspective, Akilah chatted this song to me. I have no idea what it is, but it is called, I'm just going to read the file name because I'm crazy about this file name. Bad Girls Square Bracket Urban Noise with a Z remix, close bracket.
My only request, Akilah, is that you let us know during the walk-in song at what point you charge towards the WWE, the World Wrestling stage, and just start smashing someone over the head with a chair. Like, what is that moment? Because you said you stand there for weirdly too long. What's the moment that, like, you break?
Yeah, you'll know.
Here it comes. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh man, the crowd is just booing when they hear this. They're like, oh.
Yes.
Oh yes, it could be WWE or this could be the Hans Zimmer soundtrack to a Marvel movie. I buy it.
Okay, still standing.
No, you're not moving. You're not moving.
I'm slowly at this point.
You're not moving. Oh, no. No, don't move yet.
Here it comes. Girl, I'm screaming if I blow you with a bang. Here.
Kiseki. I felt it. The thunderous elephant stampede of an 808 kick.
That
That's when the folding chair hits.
That's when the folding chair hit the cranium.
Definitely. I'm running.
Yeah. And nobody has ever heard this remix before, so only Akilah knows when the drop is going to hit, and that's why she perfectly times the giant oversized metal folding chair to the head.
Yeah, and her wrestling opponent isn't prepared.
Yes.
It's mixed super hot, so all of the drums are clipped out and distorted.
Yeah, it's all at the top. Everything's peaked.
I'm looking at the playback on this file in my soundboard, and it looks like, as they say in the EDM business, it looks like a fat sausage. Like the entire this is one fat sausage. Every waveform is peaked out, clipped off, maxed out.
Yes, this is how they used to make mashups. You didn't finesse it. You literally just put the two songs together.
It might be on purpose on the producer's part. It might be because you downloaded it from someone on LimeWire, who downloaded it from someone on LimeWire, who downloaded it on someone on LimeWire. That just like it's just that distorted because of that.
100%. It's a very long song. We don't have to go to completion.
Oh, I'm crazy about it.
I could be kicking Thanos' ass for the 3 minutes it plays, though. I could see that.
Yeah, you've got some type of power ring and whatever. Like, it, you know, in the Marvel movies, it's all basically magic. Just like anything you want could be true. So Thanos was about to destroy the world. Then you show up, this Deus Ex Machina that we never heard of, and you are the bad... That could very well be your superhero name. It's just Bad Girl, bracket, Urban Noise Remix.
It's either that or half zip, because that's what I'm wearing, is a half zip sweater, and that's how I show up, and they're like, half zip?
It's half zip.
It's Hitty Girl. And
she's just zooming, colors are flying.
She's been training for 10 years on the planet of carnivore, and now she's back bringing her urban noise. Thanos is like, no.
Exactly, not the urban noise.
Not the urban noise.
Urban noise. But urban areas are overpopulated with mouths to feed.
I was hoping, and I'm like, that's not untrue, but I'm being paid to be here, and we got to play the song, so I'm going to start kicking ass. It's my long catchphrase every time.
You wouldn't like me when I'm about to play the remix. I'm going to play my walk-in music for you, and this is just the first thing that came to my head, and I don't have a good reason for it. I want you guys to help me discover the reason. This is a song that just makes me feel some type of way, and it comes from my background. In high school, my main thing was playing the drums. Eventually, my main thing became playing the piano and singing, whatever, but at this time...
That's how you were known. You were known as a drummer.
That's how I was known. Thank you for validating me.
I didn't know this about you. Yeah. I didn't know you used to be a drummer, and people would know you as a drummer, like, from home.
And
so
I would, like, listen to, like, great drummers and percussionists. And the scene I'm picturing here, the way it makes me feel, is that I'm going shopping, which is, like...
entering the mall.
I actually like have a lot of...
Shopping for drums?
I hate shopping for
shopping.
Clothes. I hate shopping for clothes. I feel really insecure, like, going into, like, even something super basic, like an H&M or something. I'm like, I am outclassed by all these people that know how to shop for clothes.
At an H&M?
And I'm just being vulnerable.
Just get a basic tee and some tights and walk out.
And I need something. I need something to boost my confidence that makes me feel slick. And so this band leader is a great percussionist, and that's why I thought of this song. It sounds like this.
Oh, classic.
Mm-hmm. I'm slipping in center aisle. People start glancing. People hear what's going on. They do a double take. Wow. Did that guy just do a pirouette?
Your hips start to shimmy a little bit, maybe?
Is this the original song, or is this
Oye
Como Va?
This is Oye Como Va, the original version by Tito Puente, not the Santana, nice. Not the Santana cover.
Now, I don't think I'm crazy saying this, Evan. Like, we saw Tito Puente live, right? Like,
yes,
we saw Tito Puente live when you were in high school together.
Yes, because I loved him so much. And he absolutely shredded.
He's probably like a 75-year-old man.
Oh, he's so old. This is like the classic studio version from the 50s or something like that. And when we saw him, I guess, in the 90s, and he's in his 70s, he doesn't have to hold back like on the studio version. He can just break bad on the timbales for 2 hours straight.
Yeah, no one's stopping this guy. They're like, let him ride.
Yeah, let Tito go.
Let it just go.
Let Tito go.
I think, I'm not seeing shopping. I'm seeing like you've made a mistake and you're correcting it. The mistake is you've walked into, for some reason, someone in your life is getting married in one of those places where several people are getting married at once, but yeah. You have gone to the bathroom and forgot where you were going, and you've walked in at the very wrong moment in the middle of another wedding, and this song starts, and you got to win the crowd over because you're interrupting something important, and then you just kind of break out like a really good dance, and then everyone starts doing it.
Great. You know, yes. You know what this has in common with the shopping is that I'm winning people over.
Yeah.
And I love the picture that, like, I went to Las Vegas for my friend Raymond's wedding, and at the last second, I really had to do a number three, and so I missed the opening vows. I came in. Boy, did I do a boo-boo. Boy, did I step in.
You came into the reception. You tripped. You fell onto the dance floor.
Yes.
During the first dance, you point her over at the DJ.
Hit it.
Bam.
Yes.
Everybody's on the floor.
And you got, like, a really good, like, your suit is killer. Yeah. You look like James Bond. And then you have some good moves. And it kind of starts small with a little foot movement, maybe a little shoulders.
Yes.
And then it becomes this whole crazy dance.
First, I win over the mother of the bride.
And everyone's doing it.
Super white, red wedding. But all of a sudden, everybody knows how to cha-cha.
Yes. At this 2 minutes into the song, we've got a full conga line. The waiters are in on it. We're toasting.
Yes, yes. There's an old curmudgeonly man, and he's kind of like snapping. They cut to him for a second. You've done it.
Mm-hmm. Now people are coming in off the casino floor. It was a Vegas wedding, if you remember originally.
Yes.
Guys, thanks for supporting
my
vision.
And the outfits are like, it's like it was black and white, and now it's color.
like the Wizard of Oz. Now the Wicked Witch of the West comes in. She floats down on her broom. She got turks. She's not wicked anymore.
Suddenly they're walking up a road. It's yellow. They don't know why.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fast friends.
Como va?
Wow, what a journey.
Yes. I love that for you. Journey. That's a beautiful one for you, too. It feels like very much of all of our spirits, quite frankly. You know, it feels right.
Yeah.
I'm a little jealous. I liked yours. Both of yours were very real instruments and not internet-y.
Yours was A+. And I know that we didn't invite you on here to just butter you up with your music picks. But Urban Noise Remix is going to be going to the top of all of my party Spotify playlists.
You know, live fast, die young. Bad girls do it well. I mean, honestly, it would be great if I like show up and then I immediately die. Like, I think I'm going to beat Thanos and then I immediately die. My walk on and off music.
You just punch right back through the portal. We don't even know if you survived.
Yeah.
We don't even know if you survived.
And the song cuts
the punch.
Out and it's back to like, you know, welling strings, and he does just snap again.
You're like, he broke her face bones, right? But you're not sure.
Yeah.
She just went back to wherever she came from.
It could work in a Marvel movie. Kind of just a light moment of comic relief, someone getting their face punched in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know.
Groot looks over at you and just goes,
to show how strong.
I'm Groot.
Me and baby Groot go flying out.
Yeah.
Because of you.
I love it here.
Akilah, it's because you love it here so much that I'm so sorry to say we have to bring this episode to a close. I wanted it to go on forever as well. I wanted to hear, honestly, more walking songs. Just, you know, we could just keep going down the list, but it's time for us to wrap it up. We've punched up the jam. We've played our walk-in musics. You've been a fantastic guest. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm so happy you all are doing this podcast. It's a great show. You all are killing it. And I'll be back, I'm sure. If you ever feel like...
Three-peat.
An on-air promise. An on-air promise to return.
Wow.
Let it be known.
Wow. We'll find another song with the word sidewalk in it.
oh, God.
Akilah, you're kind of between things right now. So why don't you use this moment to like drum up some Instagram followers or something? Like what?
Oh yeah, where should people find you? I'm kind of cute, and I feel like people don't know that about me. They just think I'm funny. It's a real burden. So why don't you go look at my cute face on Instagram at Akilah H, AKILAHH.
Mm-hmm. And follow her on Twitter, please, at Akilah. Obviously. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm Get Some Evan.
I'm A Rose Gregory. And just, I mean, Akilah, you've heard her laugh. You've heard her sharp comments. But just, I mean, just go check out the thirst trap pics.
Do yourself a favor and look at this beatific face on the IG.
Do it. Yeah, I'm doing it for the culture, guys. I'm not doing it for, I mean, I am doing it for my self-esteem, but also the culture of my self-esteem.
Let's punch it.
Punch it!
Thanks for joining us for Punch Up the Jam, where we punched up that jam because of Akilah, who wanted to do that song, and it was delicious. Now, if you are somehow in some alternate timeline, some weird universe where you're listening to this podcast, but you're not subscribed, like maybe, you know, your mom sent it to you or whatever, was like, oh, check out this episode, please do the podcast thing and subscribe and perhaps even write us a review if you like the pod.
Write us a review or, you know, send us a tweet.
Tweet a tweet
or
at
or
us.
A message on Instagram and let us know what song we should do in a future episode of Punch Up the Jam, because we're dying to know what you guys want to hear. Maybe it's a song you love. Maybe it's a song you hate. Maybe it's a song with the word sidewalk in it. Could be any of those three options, and let us know what we should do in a future episode of
Dig
Punch Up the Jam.
Let's punch it.
You know, another word I hate in songs is spelunking.
Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Punch it. Punch it. Punch it. Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Get the party going. Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Punch it.
That was a HeadGum Original.